This happened many years ago, in the summer of 87. At the time I was 19, and my best friend was 18. We were visiting her boyfriend at his house, which was situated basically in a wooded area next to a large field, in a very rural tobacco growing area in the south. It was dark out, but you could see fairly well because the sky was clear and full of stars. She and I are resting on the front porch with our feet resting on the steps. We're just talking and laughing when all of a sudden, we saw a round, brightly lit object just a few feet above the tree, maybe 30 or so in front of us and about 50 above us, hovering just at the treetops. It had red and white lights all around it, but still wasn't bright enough, then it gave more of a bright glow. The lights were flashing a lot, and we just sat there silently. We don't make any noise at all. Now, this thing was like it was sitting there watching us. We didn't feel afraid, mainly because we're fascinated and curious as to what it could possibly be. We sat there whispering back and forth, trying to figure out what it was for a good 3 to 4 minutes, with her boyfriend opening the door finally to come out, and we turned and told him to hurry and come and look at this. He reached out and flipped on the porch light before he could even get out from under the porch light to see it. It then went straight up, about 20 feet-ish, and then zipped out of sight, diagonally. Then it disappeared completely in maybe a matter of 3 seconds. Her boyfriend and his brother had previously told us that they'd worked in the middle of the night a few years ago, and had seen some bright lights coming from their bedroom window. They thought it was police cars, but when they look out the window, they saw a round, brightly lit object, hovering in a field above the trees, maybe 10 feet above the ground. Nobody believed them because they were kids. We even laughed it off until our encounter. Needless to say, neither of us had seen anything like it before, and I've never seen anything like it since. Now, my husband believes me, and we've spent many nights looking into the sky to see anything like it again, but we haven't. This is something that happened to me when I was about 15 years old and was staying at my friend's house. I still get spooked just thinking about it, and I thought I might share it. I think it was on a Saturday that we were watching old movies, playing video games or whatever he suggested that we'd do, like going for a walk in the forest and whatnot. I was bored and thought, why not? He said there were some old abandoned houses in the woods that I had never been to before or heard about before. I thought that was pretty cool, and he told me that he could show me around. So we headed out, and I brought a flashlight with me because it's getting dark. We begin to walk through a trail surrounded by some unusually tall trees. This trail was getting deeper and deeper into the woods, and was soon not much more than tall grass, stones and trees. We had walked around for 30 or 40 minutes when it started getting really dark. I then asked if he was sure that we're going in the right direction when I suddenly noticed a small Dutch colonial style house peeking out of the trees. It was white and I think it had some kind of porch on it. It appeared deteriorated and truly abandoned from the outside. I turned around and noticed that my friend wasn't there anymore. I thought he was playing around with me, so I just kept casually walking towards the house and pretended that I didn't care. I looked through one of the windows and didn't see anything, but I heard a distinctive giggle above me. The weird thing is that it definitely sounded like a middle-aged woman, not my friend. I was a bit frightened and call out my friend's name, but he doesn't answer. I was so scared and angry that I yelled it really loud. The next thing that happened is something I can only describe as hell-breaking loose. I heard a woman crying and wailing loudly and letting out these horrifying guttural screams. I didn't even know where it came from, but I was too terrified to do anything. Besides running, I go straight through the woods. Occasionally I tripped over rocks and stuff and ended up getting a big scar on the back of my lower leg. I reached the road and I think I'm about 15 minutes or so away from seeing a car, and luckily I find one. The guy was nice enough to drive me home and said that I need help because I'm bleeding. Here's a kicker though, I checked my phone and my friend had sent me two messages saying why did I leave and where was I. I was happy that he was alive and I asked him if he's still in the woods. He didn't know what I was talking about and said he's been home the whole day. I thought he was joking, but I saw the first two messages were sent around the time when he should have been in the woods already. It's been many years since, and we're not hanging out anymore, but he maintained for a long time that he didn't go into the woods with me and that he was home the whole day when I suddenly just left without warning while he was in the bathroom. He said that he didn't know about any home in the woods either. So I'm not exactly a paranormal believer per se, though I have had a couple of experiences while hunting or hiking that I can't necessarily explain rationally. The most unnerving one probably happened 7 to 8 years back. Now normally, I would hunt on some property that my family owns. Don't even remember the reason anymore that I decided to hunt on public land this time. Probably just a change of scenery. I remembered that it was evening in fall, but fairly uncharacteristically warm that day. I got to the access road and pulled off to the spot that everybody pulls off to park and walk in, and noticed that there's a couple of old boys already there. Nothing too weird about them, except there's no truck or vehicle for them to have pulled in on. They didn't have guns with them, but they're dressed in hunter orange, but at this time, I figured that they're backpackers or campers. At the time, we're not too far away from this spot in a campground, so it's not uncommon for folks to spend weeks away from their family for some peace or quiet to go to a hunting trip. Anyway, they seemed friendly enough and there was absolutely nothing said to make them seem any different than hundreds of other fellows I've met hunting. They're basically some hillbillies from the sounds of it, and we talked for a couple of minutes and they shot off. And I sat on my phone for a bit trying to give them a head start because I was afraid they'd drive off some of the squirrels. Except I clearly didn't wait long enough. Probably like 10 minutes up the trail, it curved to the left and I heard noises coming from directly ahead. It sounded bigger than a squirrel, but also, it didn't seem like any animal that should be there. When I crept off the path ground and started to drop so I'd be able to look down and see my new pals, I realised that nothing's acting right. This is going to be hard to explain without a visual, but they were just moving, but not like normal people. Their movements were jerky, almost like they'd forgotten how to walk and things like their knees and joints weren't able to bend. I didn't stick around too long, because it was terrifying. I backed away slowly and quietly to the trail and then get into my car, then driving off. Now, I've spoken with several open-minded outdoorsmen in the area, and they think maybe they're on drugs, but I don't know. It just seems a lot different to the movement of people on drugs and looks very unnatural and scary. Okay, so I live in the woods around the Carolines. I'm just playing soccer outside and it's just me and my dog, and I suddenly hear some noise. I realise then that it's music. I have no idea where it come from, but it sounded like wind chimes. It sounds like there's multiple, but it got creepier. I was tempted to follow it, but I did not know what it was. I was freaked out and went back to my house. Come out a few hours later and I can still hear it coming from the woods. It suddenly stops again just as soon as it started, and now I'm totally freaked out. I'm from a different country, and I'm similar to what you guys call a park ranger, but with some subtle differences. Now basically, similar to a park ranger, I would have an area that I would have to cover and take shifts during my job. Often we didn't have too many crazy things happen. The biggest issue that we would find was when people would be lost out in the snow, they could literally freeze to death if they couldn't get help. It can be very difficult to get a fire going whenever there's snowfall, so this is something we're often very careful of. Now, there was one particular day that I was on my patrol like normal. Everything was normal and I didn't find anything, so I headed into the station for the day. As I headed in, I got word of apparently a potential missing persons, but also to be advised that this person's a little bit off and potentially armed. We were basically getting called in from the HQ to say be very careful because this situation feels a bit weird and this person may potentially be hostile. Apparently some people had been really scared of this person who encountered them. They said they wouldn't talk sense when they're encountered, and they would have something in their hand at all times, often concealed in their jacket. So yeah, that was what I had to investigate. I didn't feel very confident in doing so, and to be honest, I was pretty annoyed because the day was going very well up until this point. So, with not much of a choice, I set out looking for this person, thinking maybe they're completely deranged and we can try and get them somewhere to get help. So I begin. Now as I set out, the snow clouds have formed again, but there's not really much snow now. I make my way across the main path and I can see that there's no other footprints around here, so obviously there's nobody else about, which is quite a good thing for me. I start to head downhill and the trees around me are absolutely massive. The good thing is it blocks any wind perfectly, so I'm not actually too cold. Plus where I am, if I start sliding and falling it'll be quite funny because I'll go quite far before I stop, but I'll cover lots of ground that way. I mean man, I'm always half tempted to do it because it'll make my search much quicker. Now, while I'm walking, I notice there's some strange markings on some of the trees. They look similar to our own ones which mark the path that people go onto, but they're subtly different. It's almost like somebody's tried to copy our version, or it's like a fake version which somebody's just spray painted onto the trees without a stencil. It's pretty weird. I call into the base and ask if we put any new ones down, and they confirm that there shouldn't be anything here. That's a little odd. I think maybe, just maybe, someone was here and was using it as a marker to find the way back to civilization if needed, but I can't really be too sure. So I make a mental note of it and continue walking, and then I find another marker which is really strange. I get just past the second one, and I realize one of the trees has fallen recently. I get right up to the bottom of it, and there's some axe marks there. This is weird because this area is pretty well protected and I know you definitely can't do that. I start to think maybe these people were doing some illegal logging and they don't want to be caught. Yeah, it makes more sense to me now. I know I have to be cautious because some of these guys are a little bit crazy where I live. And I don't know, living out in the isolation and snow can really take its toll on you if you're not prepared for it. But looking around, I can see the snowfall's still fresh, there's nothing really to worry about. For some reason in this moment, I felt relatively lonely. I don't know why, I just felt it suddenly, it was kind of hard to describe. It felt basically like I was miles and miles away from people, which is really bizarre because usually I never feel this out here. Yes, I'm only a radio away from help, but that doesn't make you feel close to people here. I'm suddenly interrupted as another one of these markings comes parallel to our own ones, the sort of fake version that I saw before. That's really odd. Maybe they were marking trees that they wanted to cut down, but if this was the case, they were absolutely crazy to mark it next to where they know that we're going. Again, something that doesn't make sense. I can see another one just off another tree parallel to the original one I saw it on, and I think this is really weird. I know that I have to keep moving now and try and cover some new ground, but I'm not feeling very confident. I eventually break away into a new area which is away from where those markers are and actually start to feel a lot better. I'm being very careful of where I'm going because it's very easy to get lost in situations like these. Another thing you have to be careful of is if you slip and fall, you can really easily get hurt. And people don't consider that if you don't move much trying to tend to a wound, you can get cold very quickly, so I'm very cautious of this. I keep checking in on my radio periodically, just so the team back at the base know that I'm okay. I ask if anyone else has seen anything, and I get negative. This is strange. Now, just as I round the corner, I can suddenly see somebody standing dead still in the center of the path. They're not moving at all, and strangely don't seem to have noticed me. I can also see them holding something in their hands. Thinking it's one of the other guys out here working with me, I quickly put a radio call across, and then they say, "Nobody's here but you, just be cautious, okay?" I say, "Roger," and call out to the person. I say, "Hey, I'm here to help you, are you okay?" And there's nothing. I say it again, "I'm here to help you," and I don't hear a thing. The weirdest thing is that this person doesn't move whatsoever. They literally just stand there completely still, holding whatever it is up ahead of me. Now, I'm getting a little bit worried now, but I have to go forward to investigate. I mean, it's literally a part of my job. For some reason, when I start to advance, the trees feel somehow more menacing than before. I know this person hasn't come off the path because from where I'm standing, I can't see any footprints in the snow. So that leads me to my next question for myself. Where did this person come from? I call out, "Hey," one more time, somewhat quieter. Not because I'm scared, just because I've advanced a bit further, but this person just stays there, completely still. I then decide just to stay still for a moment, and almost in sync with me, this person just walks off, absolutely ignoring me and the situation almost, which is really bizarre. They go slightly towards a bend, and I realise I'm not going to be able to see them soon. It kind of goes up a hill on the left side, so you can't really see. There is a large clearing to the right, which is where a frozen lake is, but I'm not going to go there, and I know this person isn't. Now, with the person out of sight, I felt a little bit more safe and continue onwards. I stop every few seconds and just rest on a tree and try and look for any movement because I don't know if this person is alone or not. When I do so, I don't see much of anything. Now, I decide to move to the lake. I can see some tracks here too, like somebody's been skiing or on sleds or something. And I realise that I've got a pretty good vantage point here. I realise that if I continue walking, I should be able to see everything. I'm unsure what to do because I don't know how well frozen that the lake is, so I decide it's best to leave it. As I turn on my heel, the pressure confirms that with a loud crack sound. It's actually quite annoying for me at the time because it makes it easy for the person to know where I am. So anyway, I eventually make it up to where this person should have been, and I can't find much of anything. There are more tracks that lead off into the woods, and I decide that I'm going to have to follow it. Just as I go to turn in the direction where I think the person's gone, I see something on the floor which looks really odd. I can't be certain, but I see something that looks just like blood, and a couple of drips of it. So that only means one of two things, either this person's bleeding, or an animal is. And neither are good, because A, it would mean there's some kind of illegal hunting, or B, the person's in some kind of trouble and might need some help. Or C, I don't know what it is, and that's what my mind went to. Annoyingly, it's my job now to follow the tracks and go into the direction where the blood is, but not before I radio in what's happening. My team says that they're going to triangulate my position somewhat, and they're going to send some other guys over, which actually makes me more confident. Again, my team tells me that I must proceed with caution because help isn't that close, and I'm out on my own here. I say "Roger" and continue. Upon my walk, I realise more of these strange markings around. I decide that I should try and count however many there are just so I can report it to the guys later. But I now avoid this and the well-trodden path. I now go into the world as I follow in the footprints of this person who I can't seem to make contact with. Now, I begin following the tracks for a little while. I must have done so for a good 10 minutes and I don't seem to be getting any closer, which is really odd. Until suddenly, I can just about make out another silhouette further up the path from me. This one doesn't seem to be moving too much. Again, I think this is really strange because there shouldn't really be anyone else out here, and it looks different from the person that I've seen before. It's strange because they seem to vanish off into the trees too. I now see something again which makes my heart skip a beat. There's more blood. There's blood where this person was too, and I can see it from some kind of snowshoe. You know when you can see the footprint of something, although this one had spikes from obviously being adapted to cold weather. There was a bloody footprint which was leading off further away from me, different from what I'd seen before. The footprints didn't match, and that's really odd. Unsure whether it is an injured person walking around or I just don't know what was happening, I radio it in again, but unfortunately it doesn't go through because the area that I've went to has hills which are basically blocking my radio from working. So now I've got a dilemma. I can go in one of two directions here. I can try and follow the first person or the second. I opt for following the second person. I let out one call trying to get their attention, but nobody replies again. I then decide to follow the footprints, and just before I set off, I can see a silhouette again up on the bridge. Now they've rested something on the side of the bridge, but I can't really see what this is. I pick up the pace a little bit and feel more brave now as I go to investigate what's happening. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm well trained for situations, but I'm really becoming further and further out of my depth here, especially because I don't actually know the territory too well. I eventually get up to the bridge and I can see something resting on it. I can then see lots of blood dripped onto the bottom of something. I then get closer and to my horror, I realise that it's an axe and there's blood dripping from the tip of it. And it looks very fresh. Weirdly, I also can't see any other footprints as I take a moment to look around. I don't know where this person has gone, and I sure as hell don't want to find out anytime soon, but I have to. And then realize that this crazy person must have gone into the flowing stream now. To give you an idea of how insane that is, if you fall in here for less than a minute, you're pretty much dead. And that's just what this person seems to have done. Now, I was excited to at least have some kind of lead, but I knew it's going to be very dangerous to follow them around here. That only means one thing though, that they must have went downstream. Thank God I managed to get radio signal again, and I call in exactly what's happened, and they say they're going to get the police involved. And they say you can head back or keep following, it's up to you. I then somewhat stupidly say that I'm going to head back but decide to investigate a little bit more. I've realised that maybe a crime's just been committed, or at the very least I've killed some kind of animal and I need to at least help. Maybe that was the other person earlier that I saw, I don't know. I head back, now going slightly off the course again and follow the stream downhill. I follow this until eventually I can see some more footprints leading into the forest once more. I can then see a trail of blood, and I seem to be getting closer because the tracks seem more and more fresh. Just as I think I'm onto a lead, I hear somebody scream out. Now this is an absolutely belching, blood-curdling scream, something like I've never really heard before. It almost doesn't sound human, it was that bad. I then round a corner and I can see what only looks like a crime scene from a horror movie. There's blood everywhere and multiple trees knocked over, and scratching marks on some of the trees. I've never seen anything like it. It literally looked like somebody had been mauled by a bear. Now, what really scared me is that I didn't hear that scream once again. I looked around and I can't see any more tracks, and I'm met with this deep fear in my belly, and my lips go dry as my saliva dries up. I look around and I really can't find any source or body as to what's happened out here. That's what really confuses me. I expected to find a wounded person here that I'd be able to medevac, but nothing. Realizing that I've seen enough and starting to feel very sick, I decide that I'm gonna have to trek back the way that I've come. But now I realize I'm just a little bit lost, and I don't know what to do. I decide the best thing to do is have a quick look around to see if there's anybody dying, but there's literally no one. I then realize that I'm probably in a weird situation now, and once again, I hear another sound. This one's completely different. I hear my own name. Thinking it's one of the other workers here, I say, "Oh, thank God you're here. Come help me quick." And then I can see a figure just off in the distance in all black, slowly raising their finger up to their lips to be quiet. A gesture that spoke thousands of words to me, and the most important one was to run. I then turn around, and before you knew it, I was heading back where I'd come from. This wasn't one of the guys I worked with, and this definitely wasn't somebody in trouble. This was something completely different. Somebody was trying to trap me then or there, or somehow wanted me to see whatever had just happened. Now, I can never be sure where the source of the blood was, but that person didn't seem to have any on them. I can only imagine that they caused it. I jogged for probably 15 minutes before making it back to one of the main trail paths. I stupidly fell into a frozen over puddle and get very wet. And that annoys me because I think I'm going to start getting frostbite on my toes, and I don't want to lose any toes, but it feels like it's going to happen. I now, funnily enough, have to walk across some boards and bits of wood over some water, which is hideously dangerous, but I don't really have much of a choice now. I sprint, and then I see another body. This time, paralyzed with fear, I drop down to the ground and wait. This person's looking around and I realize that something's different this time. I put my radio onto the lowest volume it goes and I make contact and say, "Are you there?" And thankfully, they put the radio up to their ear. I say, "Hey, I'm right next to you, and is this?" And one of the other workers' names. But strangely, they don't reply. Thinking maybe I've gone through to the wrong person, I switch channels a couple of times and make it through. I then ask them for the location, and to my horror, they're in a complete different place to me. I then see the person up ahead of me put the radio down and continue walking with something in their hands. They were dressed in camouflage, basically a white sniper suit kind of thing. This is not something we would wear. They were trying not to be seen. I don't know how long I was on the ground for, but it was cold enough that I couldn't feel my hands and feet. I slowly get up and start to kind of crawl like they do in the military through the woods for a bit longer. I manage to make it out to one more clearing, and then I sprint for a good another 10 minutes. My feet are burning now, and my eyes actually hurt from being out in the snow for so long. I sprint and eventually call in for help, and I ask for a proximity of the closest next worker to me, of which is given. Now, seeing this person just coming up over the horizon is like something I'll never forget. I've never felt such relief in my life, almost like I'd become accustomed to the tension and forgot how it was to feel normal. I run over to them and I quickly blurt out everything that's happened, and I have to stop a few times and repeat myself because I'm not really talking cohesively. I then explain there's lots of people out there and I think something horrible's happened. This worker then informs me that the police are also dealing with this situation and there's quite a big search, and he quickly takes me over to his truck and gets me warm again. I sit there drinking coffee with him for a little bit as we listen on the radio, and we hear one of the law enforcement say that they've located a body. That was enough to send chills down my spine, and suddenly I didn't feel so warm from the coffee. A couple of hours later, I have to give a statement to the police of what happened, and can you believe this? They thought I might have been one of the suspects. It was only after I gave my full statement that they realized it wasn't my fault. I then say to them, "What did you find?" And they don't tell me too much, but they just say that they found a body that they're trying to identify, and they were murdered with definitely some kind of blunt weapon like an axe. I then explain exactly where it should be, and they say to leave the rest with them. We did eventually get an update from the law enforcement, who says that other than finding the body, they went to that exact bridge and couldn't find any forensics, and also not the axe. That was to my absolute shock, because I saw it right there with my own eyes. They say they saw some footprints leading off of the trail and into the water, but not much else. They think somebody gone back there to clean up the scene. And shockingly, they never found the blood site that I found myself. My work were very supportive and understood why I needed a long time off, and thankfully supported me in changing jobs. It's something I don't really like thinking about much to this day, but from the conversations with my bosses and law enforcement, we think that there are a couple of killers out there who were targeting the hiker who they managed to get, then also myself, and they were using radios to communicate with each other to find me, and I must have just escaped. It's something that still haunts me to this day, and I know it's something I'll never forget. How could I? Red River Gorge is a beautiful and huge park full of wildlife, rock climbing, waterfalls and dense forests, gorges and beautiful views. The place feels truly isolated, disconnected from the rest of the world. One evening, my boyfriend Dee and I decided to go camping at the gorge. We went out and tried to find a campground that was as backwards as possible. Sites were spread far from each other. Our site? That was on the edge of a very steep drop-off. We arrived at sunset and quickly set up. By the time we fully set up, the sun had set, and we begin making a fire. About 20 minutes into relaxing, we begin to hear howling that doesn't go away, and it doesn't sound like it's far from us. We're both freaked out by the realization that there were wolves nearby, but we tried to not overreact and continued to sit by our fire. 10 minutes later, I start hearing a faint yelling about 15 feet away past the cliff's edge. Now, I told Dee to be quiet and listen, and we're both frozen out of fear. A woman was now screaming. I couldn't make out any words at that point, but it was a deep, gurgling shriek. A noise that I've never heard a person make in my life before. Then I heard it. She was screaming, "Help, please someone help. Someone please help me," repeating this over and over again, howling at the top of her lungs. I'm terrified. She could have been turned around in the dark and fallen off the cliff. She could have been attacked by wolves or a bear or bitten by a snake. At this point, we both sprinted into my car, frantically climbing inside, locking the doors. I try calling the police but have no service. I threw the car in reverse and sped down the dirt road to find anyone that could help. The shrieks continued. I didn't make it far before I found three young men standing on the edge of the forest. I slow down and crack my window, still hearing that woman begging for help, and asking the men if they heard that. How could they have not heard it? I told them it was a young woman screaming in the forest. Then, two of them went sprinting into the darkness. Without questioning me or anything, the other one just stood by my car, assuring me he had no idea what was happening. While the two men were somewhere in the forest, I drove further down the dirt road until I found a spot to turn around at. When I came back, the screaming had stopped, and the men were back by the side of the road. I slowed down and asked them where the woman was, and one of the men that had run into the woods said, "Don't worry, it was actually just a kid messing around." I just said okay. I drove back as quickly as possible. We left the campsite and went straight home. Once out of the woods, we called the local police station multiple times to no answer. I know it wasn't a child. I've never heard such primal screams in my life. It made my skin crawl and my heart race just thinking about it. What did those men do that night? What was I a witness to? I live just where farmland meets the edge of the suburbia, on an island off the coast of BC. The climate here is subtemperate rainforest, so the natural and untouched landscape is incredibly wild, dense and lush. I'm keen on endurance cycling, and I take full advantage of the trail network in the forest surrounding my area. I work long hours, so most of my winter rides are in complete darkness with my trusty trail light. One section of my home trail winds through a rainforest bog full of hundreds of trees. They're huge. It's absolutely beautiful in daytime. It feels like a magical place with shafts of sunlight piercing the fog, hundreds of different species of flora, and there's so many wild animals out there. It's really beautiful. Now at nights, my gut starts tightening as the thought of passing through this mile-long section of trail appears. One day about a year ago, I was lucky enough to get a chance to go for a ride through it, so I took it. It was cold and very rainy, with few other people out on the trail. I had packed thermos of hot coffee in my backpack, and I thought the rainforest-style bog was the best place to take a rest as any. Now, I chill out. I have an interest in botany, so I was looking closely at the lynches growing off of the huge Douglas fir. But suddenly, I felt distinctly not alone. No biggie. Lots of people use a trowel, although not many are out there that day because the weather's so wet and cold. And that's when I heard it. A meow. That's odd because this isn't a good place for a cat to be alone. We have cougars and bears, but I hear a meow again. Except this time, it was canned and robotic sounding, like somebody playing a bad audio file of a cat. My gut starts to clench. It just sounded wrong somehow, and I can't figure out why. My hands were shaking when I unzipped my backpack to put my coffee thermos back in. I felt waves of nausea roll over me, and the air suddenly felt dense and thick. I was in a rainforest surrounded by trees and moss, but I felt like I can't get enough oxygen. I hadn't seen anyone for at least 10 miles, and I was distinctly aware of how far I was, and I couldn't really get any cell reception here either. Now, I hear the same meow again, but this time closer. I've never heard a cat like this before. It sounded like an imitation of a cat or a person saying meow. It was so tiny, cold, and robotic. I now know that without hesitation, it's time for me to go immediately. I was panicked on the inside, but can't show fear, so I casually slung my leg over my bike and start riding. As soon as I got out of the bog, I ride the rest of the way home like a bat out of hell. glancing over my shoulder every few minutes. I can't see anything. I will never forget this experience for as long as I live. I've had some pretty disturbing things happen on my night rides, but nothing ever like this. I hate the fact that clearly something was imitating a cat, and I'm sure it was a recording. God knows who was out that deep into the forest too. I just hope I don't encounter this again. I used to love going for long hikes in the forest near where I live. I usually did it on summer's evenings. Yeah, I know this probably isn't the safest thing to do, but I always had my hunting rifle on me anyway. I mean, I'd be stupid not to. All it takes is one wild animal to go for you, and if you're unarmed, good luck to ya. So anyway, I set out one summer's evening. I had my iPod playing some really chill songs and I felt really good about myself. I can't really get cell phone signal where I go because the trees cover it, but I like listening to my music. Now I was a good 40 minutes into my hike. There was enough moonlight for me to see where I was going. That's how I normally planned my hikes, when the moon was out at its brightest on the most clear days, so I can see everything. I'm really enjoying myself this night. I found true tranquility. I decided to stop for a minute, take off my headphones, and just pour out some of the hot chocolate I had in my flask. Now, the second I do this, I have the feeling that I'm not alone, and I can't describe this feeling. It's almost like I'm comfortable in my own presence, but I don't want to be joined by anyone else. And this unsettles me. I just think I'm just being a little paranoid. I say to myself, thank God I've got my rifle. And I could have sworn I heard a laugh afterwards. No, it must have been just an animal, surely. So I go about drinking my hot chocolate. As I do so, and I'll never forget this, I hear someone whisper behind me, mind if I have some? And a terrifying laugh follow. Now the next few seconds is a complete blur, as I fumble, fall over getting up, grab my rifle, and scream myself, and sprint in the complete opposite direction to where I heard the voice, and back onto the trail. I try and scream out that I have a gun, but I can't get the words out. What's worse is I hear rustling behind me. I continue sprinting up the trail, only to slip temporarily again, and now on my back. I lay there wondering whether it's better to pretend I'm still. I look behind me, and I can see what appears to be the butt of a cigarette lit in the distance. Well, looks like I'm gonna keep moving then. I get up again, and scream I have a gun and I'm not afraid to use it. What's worse, I'm sure I hear laughter in the distance after saying this. I sprint all the way back to my car. I don't even bother going back for my flask for anything. I immediately get on my radio and call it into the park rangers in the area, who say they're going to check it out and they want me to show them exactly where it is. I say you've got no chance, and speed out of there. And the whole drive home, I can't stop thinking, who in their right mind was out there? How long were they stalking me for, and what on earth did they want? They clearly weren't mentally sane, whoever or whatever this was. Now, I don't believe in the paranormal, but this could have easily been something like that. Because why would you be out there with no torch or anything? Maybe it is an insane person. All I know is that I never got to the bottom of it, and I never went out on my own in the woods at night again. I come from a big country family. We live on a farm. We raise our own food and meat animals, and we hunt and process. My dad's first cousin is even a licensed taxidermist, so we get a lot of hunting in. For a bit of backstory, on the homestead I grew up on and that we still live in, it was my parents, my pop's first cousin and his wife. me and my four sisters and my four female second cousins. So four adults and nine kids. And sometimes my pop's brothers come to stay with us too, especially during the hunting season. So hunting season is on, and my pops and his brother and the cousins we live with are all getting ready to go hunting. Some of the kids decide to tag along with me, my sister and my cousin. We get permission from one of my uncle's friends to hunt his lands away, and it's basically on several hundreds of acres of forest. Now, an important fact, during the time we're setting up, my pops and uncles are quiet while the three of us kids talk, and my voice hasn't changed. This is important. Us kids keep chatting away while the adults are just getting louder and feeling more energy while they check out the survival equipment, making sure the guns are clean and working, etc. Now there's a rustling in the thick brush around us, and suddenly, three creepy looking guys enter the clearing. They literally stop dead. One of them has a hand on his knife on his belt. They're clearly drunk as hell. They kept looking between A and S and my pops and uncle, like debating something. My pops and uncle stand up. Last bit of backstory, every guy in my family's huge. I'm 19 and 6'5". My dad is 6'10 and 280 pounds, Jesus. Just deeply intimidating men. And so are my uncles. The guys laugh nervously as my Uncle V picks up one of his rifles, pointing it at them. The dudes start running off into the clearing like the devil's after them. My pops immediately says we're clearing out. My uncles don't question it, and neither do we. We're freaking out, and we're totally scared now. I mean, we're taking things down really sloppily, but my pops doesn't say anything about us messing up the camping equipment. When we get back, we instantly call the police, who unfortunately don't take it serious. We also told the owner of the land to be careful of his kids. The craziest thing is that, at that moment I realized A and S and me, with my unchanged voices, are the only voices that these guys would have heard. So they clearly come across here, trying to find some children on their own. Just down the road from where I lived a few years ago, in southeast Australia, is an opening into about 100 acres of woodlands and bush that I frequently went into when I was younger to do the usual things, riding and camping, etc. I was out driving at around 11:30 with my girlfriend, and as we're in the area, I decided to show her the woodlands while we sat in the area, as she enjoys everything to do with nature. And it's still summer, so it's an extremely warm night. I left my car with the light shining into the trees as we weren't going too far in, and it was pitch black inside, and the two of us just kind of sat around chatting and just relaxing. She was sitting on a sort of map of the area that had been used before, and there was some plastic around us. I kept getting this feeling like we're being watched though. Now I've read on here a few people have said that they felt like they're in danger, although nothing around them was off. Everything was fine, apart from the feeling I had, and I just can't explain it. After lighting another cigarette, my nerves are calmed. I scan the tree line again and realize that it looked different than before. It was only after starting into the dark that I saw that there was now moonlight, lighting up all around us, and I can see a black shape blocking where we come from before, this I didn't see before. I've got goosebumps just typing this, but the only way to describe it is that all sound just ceased and everything went dead silent for a few seconds. I had this disgusting feeling of dread coming over me as I saw motion in the dark path, as something literally crawls towards us on all fours. Now I've seen nearly every animal in the outback here, and we don't have any large predators like in the US or Europe, but somehow, I knew this thing was a predator, and it wasn't hiding from us, and it starts slowly coming towards us, clearly hunting. Now, I don't know if my girlfriend saw it or not, as it was kind of dark, but I saw that thing get off on its two legs, just staring at us. Now, I'm 6'4", and this thing was about another half meter larger than me, with arms that were far too long. I mean, they're literally reaching the ground. I'm terrified now. All I can make out was an off-white, almost yellowish fur color it had, and a strange wolf-like head. I wasn't able to move as it stared at me, but it's at this point that my girlfriend gasps, which seems to break the silence between us. I grab her arm, and we sprint to the car, slam into the doors. This thing is tearing after us too, we both screamed. We tear out of there quick, not even looking back. It took us half an hour to calm down enough to talk about what we had seen. We both discussed it many times and know what we saw wasn't fake. We still have no explanation to it to this day. It's really scared me, and I've never went back to that area since. I always used to go camping a few years ago. I stopped doing it as much recently because of work, but I still get out there on the odd occasion, and I love it. I never had anything weird happen to me while I was actually camping. Some of the strangest things would happen when I was driving. It was never too bad, I'd just see strange lights in the sky, but I was sure that was just because I was tired. There was one thing I could never explain though, however. So I was driving back from a camping trip one summer's evening, when I see somebody standing in the road. I don't know what they're doing, so I slowly drive up to them. They're not facing me, they're facing directly away from me. I turn my lights on to try and let them know that I'm there, but they don't move. I stop my car and get out and I say, "Hey bud, I need you to move out of the road for me, please. Is everything okay?" And I'm not kidding you, the second I finish my sentence, they fall to the ground. Well, I say they, all of their clothes do. It's almost like somebody just disappeared. I rub my eyes and I'm sure that I'm just sleep deprived and hallucinating. And I get back in my truck and slowly drive towards it. To my horror, I can see only a pool of blood exactly where I thought the person was standing. But it's dried blood like it's been there for weeks. I have no idea what it is. I immediately do a U-turn, scream to myself for what felt like an eternity, and get the hell out of there. To this day, I still have no idea what happened or who that was. There was nowhere for them to have run, and if they did, I would have saw footsteps in the dirt. There was neither. The drive home from work was always a long one for me. I had to drive through miles of woodland roads completely on my own. It was about an hour's drive, but I got used to it. I used to get finished on my night shift at about 10 o'clock, and I'd always turn on the radio and just enjoy my drive. There was one cold winter's night in December that really shook me up though, however. So I'm about 10 minutes into the drive, trying to demist my dashboard, when suddenly, I have a feeling come over me like I'm being watched, and I can't shake it. It's a weird feeling, but it went away after a few minutes, and as I'm driving, I suddenly realize that I've lost my power steering. That's odd. It normally comes on again if this happens, which it rarely does, but then I see my lights go off, and my engine cut out. It was almost like somebody let off an EMP in the atmosphere. Everything just stops, and I crawl to a halt. I'm confused out of my mind, but I'm not scared. Now as I'm sitting there, I become aware of just how dark it is around me. It's literally pitch black because of the trees. 10 seconds later, The radio comes on, and I can hear a staticky voice saying, "Please don't be scared." And suddenly, my engine comes back on without me turning the ignition, and everything else goes back to normal. Needless to say that I was terrified in this moment. I drive back home as quick as I possibly can. Nothing like it ever happened since, and I still have no explanation to it to this day. I grew up in the South. There's tons and tons of beautiful places to see that haven't been taken over by concrete yet. It's nice. But along with that, it's pretty boring. Being a teenager and wanting to go out and have fun led to mostly improvising with your buddies and hoping that something good can come out of the night. There wasn't really a local spot to go and hang out at, like a club or cool bar, and the places that were close to us were boring, because we'd went to them so often. I'm sure if you've ever lived in a rural area, you can understand it. Something that I found a ton of enjoyment in as a teen was just cruising around super late at night listening to music. I would fill up my gas tank, grab something to drink, and I'd just drive off until the sun comes up. It was a way to clear my head and relax. Those country roads are always fun to drive down at 2 a.m. and was just also the right amount of spooky. I don't know why that made me laugh. Well, one night, I absolutely got more than I bargained for. I can't remember what month it was exactly, but I knew for a fact it was in the summertime, because I was out of school, and I also remember it being a comforting, chilled night. So, if I was to guess, it was probably around July or August. I was cruising around like I always did, and was completely worry-free. I had music blurring, and I'm in my zone. I decide to head down and park just out of boredom. This particular park is at the end of a very long stretch of desolated country road, but is a really pretty drive because of that. When I say desolate country road, I don't mean that it's some dirt road that goes through the woods or anything crazy. It's a normal paved road, but there really is nothing on it after a certain point. The entire road takes about 20 minutes to drive down, and to get to the park after about 10 minutes into the drive. That's where the houses start spreading out further and further, before there's none, and just a road leading to a park. I think a lot of the reason I like this drive is, at night, it's so creepy, and there's really no getting over that. I love the adventure of it. Now the park isn't open for camping or anything. It's mostly just lots of land with walking trails and biking trails set up through miles of woodland. So obviously at around 3 a.m. in the morning, it's pretty dead. I made it there and just did a slow normal loop around the park. The night before it stormed so badly. So I remember my parents and I had to take shelter because of the threat of a tornado. There ended up being no tornado, but the storms were pretty rough. Because of it, I come up on a fallen tree in the road that looped around to the exit of the park that must have been caused by the storm. It wasn't some massive tree or anything, but I knew for a fact that there was no way it could have gotten there from a car, obviously. It was pitch black. Everywhere besides the front of my car because of my headlights, and because of that, I immediately ruled out backing up the entire way. I just drove when I entered the park. I knew that this was super dangerous and there was no way. At this point on the road, there was flat land on each side of me. I figured that it would make the most sense just to back up to the grass beside me, just a little, and then drive back the way I come. It was a one-way loop around the park, but I wasn't really worried about going out and the wrong way because it's so late. So now I start to back off the road so I can get my car to turn around. All was good until I pull off onto the road. I totally didn't take into account how wet the grass was and the amount of mud there is. My car went absolutely nowhere. My back tires are completely stuck and were spinning in places where I didn't think they could. I start getting scared now. It really isn't the most ideal of situations to be in. I immediately take my cell phone out of my pocket and saw that I had service, which comes as a massive relief. I call my parents and tell them what's happening and where I was. I'm pretty annoyed, but they said that they're gonna pay for the tow truck to get me. My parents both drove their small four-door sedans, and they said that they would be zero help in the situation that I'm in. It was about 45 minutes away from my home and most of human civilization, so I was pretty sure I'm going to be stuck there for at least an hour before someone comes to get me. It's a freaky feeling. But I try getting out of my head and just continue listening to music and playing on my phone. Not really a lot I can do. After I kind of calmed down from the initial anger I had, I started to check out my surroundings. I didn't even notice at first because everything's going on, but in front of my car's placement was a field that's full of deer. It's the most I've ever seen in my life. There legitimately must have been 40 deer just walking around eating grass. The field wasn't directly in front of my car, but if I was to get out and throw a rock, I would have easily hit one. So if I'm gonna guess, they're probably about 30 yards away. I watch him for a little bit, but I'm quickly over it and start browsing through my socials on my phone. They seem to have been over it quicker than I was because they all go back to eating grass after figuring out I'm not going to attack them. After browsing my phone for 15 minutes, I finally get a call back from my parents letting me know that the tow truck guy's coming. He's about an hour and a half away. Still to this day, I remembered hearing that and thinking, "You've got to be kidding me." I understood that me and only me is the reason that I'm in this situation, so I can't complain. But I mean, come on. I decide that the smartest thing to do now is to make sure all the doors are locked and lay back and sleep for a bit. So that's what I do. Okay, here we go. So I wake up 45 minutes later to the feeling of being watched. I'm not sure if anyone has ever experienced it before. I don't know how common it is, but it's almost like a sixth sense was going off in my head telling me I need to wake up. Now. Waking up to that feeling in that situation is horrifying. I sit up and immediately check my surroundings to see nothing. I look through my car very quickly for any kind of weapon and find a pocket knife. A pocket knife. Great. I'm really scared now, even though I haven't saw or heard from anyone. I was shocked to see that the field of deer in front of me was still full. I don't know anything about the animal, but I guess they were just going to move. But they're motionless. I call my parents back to see if they've heard anything. I decide not to mention how scared I am because I know it's going to worry them. And there's no updates from the tow truck guy. So this can't be much worse. The last call just lasted a few minutes, and I felt like an idiot. They both had to wake up for work quickly after, and now they've spent over $100 to try and get me home, and they're worried about me. We hung up, and I looked up from the phone, and immediately went from 0 to 100 in a panic. All of the deer in front of me had perked up, staring in the same direction in front of them. Every single one of them. One of them stopped dead in their tracks, standing completely still. The others followed, looking at something. I put my high beams on and stared, waiting for absolutely anything to happen. But there's nothing. I tap my horn real quick. They don't even budge. That's what scares me. They were completely glued to what was in front of them instead of being scared by me. I know they were looking into the woods, but where I was, I can only see them. I can hear my heartbeat, and I grab my pocket knife and just waited for something to happen. I would say it was about a minute after I honked. Every single one of them in unison ran the opposite direction that I am in. And now within 10 seconds, it's completely empty with just me in the field. I'm petrified in fear. I knew that staying in my car would be the safest thing, but I'm now stuck. My head is on a swivel. I'm freaking out in every possible way. I assumed that it's a bear or something, but it could have been absolutely anything. I was convinced at that point that it's the devil himself. I don't know what to do now. I knew that the tow truck was close by, but I have no idea where. I start shaking because of nerves, and just look around me to make sure nothing was by me, and focusing on the field in front of me. I did this for what felt like an actual eternity, sitting in complete silence and darkness in the middle of nowhere, waiting for something to jump out and attack me. Now 15 of the longest minutes of my life go by, and I start to see lights break through the tree line on the road. As it gets closer, I see it's a tow truck guy. The lights on in his truck feel like Jesus coming. He gets up to me and I jump out of the car and say, "Do you have a gun?" I tell him what's happened and he said something's definitely nearby. He let me know that he grabbed his shotgun in the truck and assured me that it's probably a bear or bobcat. He gave me the whole, "They're more scared of you than you're of them," crap. The tree was small enough for him to sort of bulldoze it out of the way and hooked up my car. He wasn't really listening to what I was saying about the story, but knew I was shaken up from it. The whole time, I still had my eyes glued on the field looking for anything. He was completely done with everything in about 15 minutes, and he told me that to follow his truck out of there and onto the main road's the best bet. I got in my car and was ready more than anything to get out of there. We start to move away from the spot I'm in, and I still have my head on a swivel, completely shaken up. As we're driving away, I look in my rear view, and just out of the way, I could see the partially lit up spot where I was from the vehicle lights. I watch in my rear view mirror as a man comes out of the tree line behind my car and walks into the middle of the road watching us. He's a huge person too. My heart stops. I legitimately start bawling out of fear. I can't see any details of the man. I don't care about that, honestly. The feeling when we're driving away was the worst of my life. He stands there the whole time. No, he was there watching me, creeping up on me when I'm completely alone for a very long time. Maybe even coming up to my window watching me sleep. That's a feeling that I can't quite put into words. The entire time we're driving off, as long as I can see him, he doesn't move. He just watches. A million things are racing through my mind now. I was scared that there might have been multiple people waiting for us. I was trying to figure out if I should start beating on my horn or what. I decide all I want to do though is get out of there, more than anything. The second we finally got out of the park and was able to be on two roads, I drive past a tow truck driver doing at least 70 miles per hour. I run inside, quickly saying sorry to my parents and nothing more, run into my room, not sleeping for a single second that night. I was searching everywhere for what could have happened, escaped convicts, whatever, and I've come to the conclusion that I'm never going to know who was out there or what they were planning to do to me. I never told my parents this story either until years after, and it freaked them out when I told them it, even in my older age. I never went back to that park ever again, and I never will for as long as I live. Years ago, when I was still a teenager, my friend Justin and I would often go longboarding at night. As my friends and I are quite the night owls, we love the freedom of almost never seeing another soul on the roads or the paths we frequented. Even when using main roads, it would be very rare to see a car out so late in such a rural area, and you could see or hear them coming from very far away due to the headlights and the noise of the vehicle disrupting the peace. We were really into it at the time, and would often ride our boards for miles and miles, not seeing anyone, until the sun was up. One particular night, we decided to ride a few miles away from our usual back roads to take one of our favourite hidden routes. It began with a narrow, paved path that was the only piece of land separating two sides of a long lake. It would often sink under due to rain, and we wanted to seize the opportunity to use it before it rained and went underwater again. It was roughly 2 miles long, and extremely relaxing to ride through due to scenery. After making it to the end of the lake, we decided to keep moving and continue on our way, and turn into a very close path that leads into a densely wooded area of a national park. As we came up to the first hill, we looked down at the bottom into the blackness. We both noticed what appeared to be a tiny ball of light moving down there. At first we think it's a park ranger, but it moved so strangely, and it was extremely difficult to make out what it is. Rather than shine our flashlights down, we curiously watched out for a few moments, whispering to each other what it could be. And all at once, that small light turned into multiple blinding lights and extremely loud revving sounds, overwhelming our senses as it had become accustomed to the darkness and silence. Acting purely on fear, we instantly turned around and ran as fast as we could, hearing yelling and revving gaining behind us. By sheer luck, we managed to run off the path into a very dark, very overgrown hole in the side of a hill overlooking where we just come from. We decided to hide in the natural dugout of this hill, hoping the plants and darkness would be enough to protect us from whatever was happening out there. We watched our pursuers ride out to where we originally were standing. There were 4 men, 2 on 4-wheelers, 2 on motorbikes, each other yelling something, but we can't make out what they're saying due to the distance. We felt safe enough to whisper softly to each other and speculate who these people could have been. Our first thought was that they might be park rangers of some kind, although we've never seen any in here, and we've been here a lot of times. And honestly, we doubted that this country had the budget for them this deep, unless they're on a big manhunt or something, which has happened in neighbouring states. Besides, these men are on vehicles that are inappropriate for paved bike trails. They're very angry too, and we don't know why. They call out for us for a while, yelling things like, "We know you're there, and we can see you, come out." We stay silent and decide to call on their bluffing instead of running. Eventually, I heard one of the men yell, "Find them now," and smash a bottle. That had erased any hope that they're rangers. We watched them split up, and each of them gone a different way down a series of paths on their vehicles, including the one that we've just come from. It took us what felt like ages to move. We're frozen in fear in that dugout, watching the lights from the vehicles travelling through the woods and paths. One of them already come in full circle and passing the point that we started on. I thought about calling for help, but I was too afraid. I was scared that the smallest amount of sound would give away our location. After waiting for the lights of the vehicles to reach our furthest distance yet, we finally summoned the nerve to get up and to run somewhere far enough away from them to make a call. We ran as hard and fast as we can through the woods, since their headlights gave their locations away on the paths. We would hide again whenever we felt like they're close. Our available hiding spots were getting progressively worse as the woodland became less dense, and the fear is overwhelming. Finally though, we emerged from the woods onto the intersection of the 2 main roads, far enough away from where we started. We ducked down into the ditch to call for help. I opened my phone. I noticed I had recent missed calls from one of our friends, Connor, who we're supposed to meet up with after our longboarding excursion. I called him and frantically asked where he is. Luck's with us again. And he hadn't given up on our plans despite us ignoring him. He's only a few miles away now, already heading in our direction. I gave him the names of two of the streets we're near. I explained that we need to be picked up immediately. He agrees to speed over to us while Justin and I were waiting in hiding. Thankfully, Connor arrived before any of them men did. We bolt into the back seat of his car, yelling for him to get out of there. He took off fast. Relief doesn't begin to explain how I felt after being safely driven home. After explaining everything that happened to Connor, we ended up just moving on with our night and decided not to call the police. We figured they'd be gone by the time any officer made it out there, and that we're putting ourselves at risk by admitting that we're breaking the law being out there. Justin and I later admitted to each other that when the revving started, we could see our minds going to Chainsaw Killer or something worse. Frustratingly enough, whatever them weird men saw that made them want to chase us so bad, we actually never saw, so they even had no reason to chase us. I never found out what they were actually doing or why they're so angry at us. I just know we're in a very dangerous situation, and to be honest, we're probably lucky to make it out of there alive. Me and my friend John loved to go for hikes in a national park that was a couple of hours' drive away from where we lived. We'd often end up camping overnight. I mean, we'd always bring our camping gear in case we didn't make it back in time off the trail when it was dark. Now, we usually did this in summer evenings. Oftentimes, we'd never encounter anyone else except for the odd park ranger. It was normally nice to see them. We'd have a good laugh for a little bit. I always respected park rangers and embraced them when I saw them. Now, we set out on this one hike during one summer's evening 2 years ago. We're having a really good time. We're just talking about life. My friend's talking about not really liking his job much, and he's complaining about the hours and the work they have him do. He works in a hospital and really doesn't enjoy it. And I felt pretty bad for him. He's only starting and they're making him do all the dirty work pretty much. I wasn't too happy in my life either at the time. I had some big changes coming, and I was waiting on people, and I hate waiting. I really can't stand it. So we're talking about this for hours, and honestly, it's like a therapy session, and I really enjoy it. We keep walking and we're talking about the highs and lows of life. Things that are coming, and things that we just want to see change. We're both saying it's surprising how that this time next year, we have no idea where we're going to be or what we're going to be doing. We're just putting the work in now. As we finish talking, we realize it's nightfall and there's already moonlight illuminating around us. I love moonlight, and we say, hey, how about we set up camp? John agrees. We walk further down, and just as we think we found a good camping spot, we see another tent further up. Now, there's this horrible smell there, so we're sure that whoever this is has hunted an animal, and they've left it out there, which is kind of disgusting, but they might be skinning it, getting it ready to eat. My friend goes over to say hello, and just say that not to worry about us, we're going to move further away so he can have his own space. And what do you know? A park ranger appears. You can see his hat from a mile away. As we go over there, we realize that there's something not quite right about this ranger. We can't really tell what. He doesn't have a normal uniform on. Well, he has a hat at least, but he has a big coat on. It's not cold enough for a coat. He says very few words when he speaks to us. He just says, yeah, I'm just setting up camp. We're out looking for someone and that we should leave. I end up talking to him for a little while and a lot of what he's saying doesn't make sense. And I get this really weird vibe from him. Like he's looking at me, but he's not. And he's trying to look through me at the same time, if that makes sense. He says, "Are we armed?" And we say, "Yeah, we've both got hunting rifles, but we got a permit." He asks to see it, and my buddy shows him his. He says, "That's okay, you haven't got to get yours out to me." And then John says that we need to get moving and should probably set up camp. He says, "Fine." And the second he turns around, my buddy John grabs me hard by the arm and starts walking really fast, guiding me. Now I'm confused because, well, we're out in the middle of nowhere in a national park. There's gonna be lots of places we can go and set up our camp. But there was something different about the way he grabbed me. It felt really urgent. I can't describe it. I don't need to know any more about the situation, and I just start to lightly jog with him. The second we're away from the camp, I turn back and I can see the ranger still watching us. He's standing in the exact same spot as before though, which is something I find very odd. The second that we get over this hill, John says run, and I don't question it, and we start sprinting as fast as we can back the way we've come. He starts telling me, "I don't think that's a park ranger." I say, "What? You're kidding me?" He says, "No, just run." And we run for miles and have to stop eventually to catch up with our breaths. He says, "I don't think that was a dead animal we could smell, and that guy definitely wasn't a park ranger." I said, "How'd you know? He's just wearing a coat." He said, "When he looked at our permits, he didn't even look." And then he said it was fine, and a park ranger would have to check both of us had permits, pretty much. I got a horrible sinking feeling in my stomach as I remember turning round and looking at the park ranger just standing there staring at us, and a lot of what he said didn't make sense. God, it all clicked now. We continued hiking into the morning and eventually make it back to our car. We drive immediately to the park ranger station, and the park rangers there say that nobody's out in that area and they're definitely not camping. Eventually, they sent out some people to go and investigate and got the police involved. It turned out that they suspect that this guy had murdered someone, and where we encountered him, he moved everything and hid the body. The police are still out there looking for it today.